Thank you, Jesus. Is it okay to have a bit of fun today? Do Kiwis like having fun? I've never been here before, so I'm just trying to figure what you guys are like. I don't know. You seem quite crazy. Good crazy. Thank you, Jesus. Should we just enjoy God for a minute? So just put your hands out. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we love you this morning. Just allow your glory to settle on everyone. Like thick snow on a tree, just resting on your branches. You're just trees, okay? Just let that thick, thick glory, the kabod, the heavy presence, the creamy favor of our Lord, the buttery fatness of Jesus. Yeah, just let that fat drip on you right now. The butter fat of heaven. The creamy cream from heaven's donut. we marinate this morning. We just pickle. Just pickle in the butter fat. Just fat and happy. I don't believe in a skinny latte gospel. I believe in the full fat caramel macchiato whipped golden milk straight from the udder. Not pasteurized. Not processed. Not man-made. The creamy, creamy, milky mustache on your face. They all know that we're Christians by the milky mustache. What will distinguish us from all the people on the earth? The creamy butter goodness of Jesus Christ, the happy gospel. 1 Timothy 1:11, we don't preach a miserable God. We don't preach a miserable gospel. We preach the glad message of the happy God. 1 Timothy 1:11, the glad message of the happy God. The God isn't bad news. The gospel isn't bad news. It's not a plan to make everyone miserable and do efforts and hard slog. The message of the gospel is that we were completely incapable. Completely incapable. We couldn't do it even if we tried. If you worked your whole life, you would never have been able to accomplish this. It was beyond you. It was like you can jump this high, but can you jump to the moon? You're incapable of jumping to the moon. So Jesus came down in our brokenness. Jesus came down in our vileness. And he embraced us in our wickedness. And while we were his enemies, God so loved the world that he grabbed it and pulled it into his heart and sent his son, and he came into the garbage dump and he scooped us up and seated us with princes. Whoa, the gospel is that God saves us single-handedly and he invites us to his feast. He says, come all who are thirsty, come all who are hungry and feast. He doesn't invite us to a fast. He invites us to his supper, to his feast. He invites us to the lamb. He lays out the lamb and says, eat the full lamb. The feast of Passover, they had to eat the whole lamb. God invites you to eat the whole lamb, to feast. You know, we come into church with all of our efforts and we've got our little three-legged lamb that we've dragged in with mottled wool. And we come in with our little efforts and our little ideas of what God needs. And when we come in, we find that there's a barbecue already happening. There is a roasted lamb. There's a lamb on the altar. And the smoke is filling the temple with his glory. And the smoke is going into everyone's nostrils. And we're not invited to pour on our efforts. We're invited to drink from his pleasure. See, the gospel is an invasion of pleasure. Adam was planted into Eden. Eden means pleasure or bliss. He was meant to spread Eden over the earth. So God had a plan. He created Eden, which was in heaven, and then he planted a garden in Eden. So I want you to imagine, this is just my little diagram. It's not going to be very good. Imagine this is the king's house in heaven, and there's a beautiful garden called Eden. And it's the place of his pleasure where he walks and enjoys his garden. Yeah, use a different pen. I've just seen Ian's garden. He's got all these wonderful vegetables growing. There's a lot of glory on gardening. I love gardening. The last 2 years, I've been learning how to garden. And I've been enjoying it. I've been finding Jesus in the garden. So God created Eden, and then on the earth, he created an overlap place, which was the garden planted in Eden. A man was planted there in a convergence point between heaven and earth. Now, this was all void and had fallen because there had been a fall. Satan had fallen. And Adam's job was to spread Eden over the earth, which is pleasure. Eden means pleasure. So his assignment then was to release that into the cosmos, into the other planets. Mars needs an atmosphere. Mars needs trees. The solar system needs to be transformed. And humanity was never supposed to die. Humanity was supposed to spread out into the cosmos and reshape it into the pattern of heaven, which was the pleasure, walking with God in the pleasure of Eden. Whoa. So you guys with me so far? Whoa. So the gospel is an invitation. But we've not understood the invitation. We thought it's just an invitation from sin. And you hear people preaching the gospel that you've got to repent of your sins and you've got to do this and you've got to do that. You've got to pray more. That's not how the Lord sees it. The Lord sees it as an invitation back into Eden, into the place of bliss where he makes you righteous. Now a righteousness from God has appeared. We were completely incapable of living the life that God wanted us to live. This is what it says in Romans in the Message. It says, since we were completely incapable of living the life that God wanted us to live, God did it for us. That's a good point. God did it for us. God saved us single-handedly and replanted us into Eden. So what are you going to do about it? Are we waiting for death to come along and save us and open up Eden? Is death your savior this morning? Because Christians have built a theology of death. We've honored death. We've said, when I die, I'll see angels. When I die, I'll go to heaven. When I die, I'll see the throne room. When I die, my body will be transformed. And we've actually made death our savior. Do you realize that? We've actually made death the hero of the story that comes on his horse with his big sickle and his white face and black cloak. Death hasn't saved you. It's Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. He is the door. He is the gateway. He's already made you righteous. He has already made you able to live in the light of his face. Glory time. I was talking with Ian this morning. Ian keeps getting glory tans at night. His skin sizzles. I've been with a few people that have had tans from Jesus. I had a friend that had this encounter in his room and his body was sizzling. And he thought God was taking his tattoos away, but his tattoos stayed. But the next day he had this lovely brown skin. He was walking around the mall and he was bumping into people. They're saying, where have you been on holiday? Where have you been on vacation? It's like, no, this is a tan from the man. This is a glory tan. The Bible says, with you is the fountain of life. Whoa. With you is the fountain of life. In your light, we see light. So when we come to drink from the fatness of who he is, we see light. Yay, there's a fountain that makes glad the city of our God. It says, at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. And it says in the Psalms that he gives us to drink from what? His pleasures. Why did Jesus come? Jesus came. He said, I have come that my joy. How many of you guys know that God must be pretty happy being God right now? To be infinitely, I want you to get this. Come on, guys, engage with me. You've got to understand, there's a point to what I'm saying. I am trying to get you to re-see God. Not through the veil of religion and efforts Because you could listen to Ian Clayton's teaching, and I have this all the time. People come up to me and say, how do I do this? How do I do that? And it's not coming from understanding the gospel. They're adding it to a list of do-do efforts. They're adding it to a list of things, I've got to do this, I've got to do that. But the thing is, what we're supposed to do is follow the joy and the bliss. So the way it worked for me, when I heard Ian Clayton teaching, I didn't understand trading floors, I didn't understand all this and that. I held it in my heart. But what I did understand was when he talked about walking in Eden, when he talked about the black cloud. So I began to engage with the black cloud and began to engage with Eden, because where there is grace, there is ease. You've got to get this. My yoke is easy and light. It's not this onerous thing. So, for example, I heard Ian teaching on having a marriage contract with God. How many of you guys have heard that teaching? That's an awesome teaching. I heard it 5 years ago, and I've only just done my marriage contract before coming here, because right now it was full of oil. I wanted that deeper connection with Jesus. I wanted to define the terms of our engagement. So where there's life and there's oil and there's bliss and the joy, that's what you've got to follow. You've got to follow the butter trail, the buttery fat trail of his copious goodness. It says the knowledge of his glory will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. What is his glory? His glory is a manifestation of his goodness. Which means, right, the world is already full of his glory, Isaiah 6. True? It's already full of his goodness, yeah? Earth is very much like a shadow of heaven. It's God's style. People don't realize how similar heaven is, actually. Trees, buildings, lakes, rivers. It's a beautiful place. People have picnics, all sorts of things. It's full of delight, full of bliss. And God wants us to, well, enjoy it. What's the point being alive if you're not enjoying it? Come on, boom, we're going after some religious cows today. Because we have been known for our misery, not our bliss. We have. We're not of the earth. If we're of the earth, we'll lament with the earth. But if we're of heaven, we'll sing the songs of heaven. And you can hear a lot in the worship sounds, it's coming from the wrong arena. Because it's miserable. You know, there's one song that goes, this is what it sounds like when we sing heaven songs. I'm like, no, it doesn't. That does not sound anything like it. This is what it sounds like when we sing heaven songs. And I honor Bethel and I honor that song. But I got to say, that is not, you know, we're not going to get to the throne room and find someone playing three chords on a guitar. It's a symphony. It's ecstasy. It says they're in joyful assembly. It says that he sits in heaven and laughs. And we should not be unfamiliar with joy. But I tell you what takes away our joy. Religion makes us grumpy. Because religion puts back on you. Religion puts back on you everything Jesus took off you. Suddenly, you're not good enough. Suddenly, you're not qualified to pray for anyone. You can't prophesy. We don't trust you. Don't cross this line. Don't touch. Don't handle. Do this. Do that. Shake baba booba baba ba. And yet, Jesus trusts you. Jesus is so confident in you that when Jesus had completed what he'd done, and it is completed, it is completed, it is finished, it is finished, it is finished, it is finished, it is finished. Jesus has completed it. Whoa. Jesus was so confident that he took the keys of hell and death and Hades, and the keys to bind and loose. So he had just won the keys. He had kicked the devil's butt on the cross. And what does he do? He hands it over to Peter and says, see you later, bro. That's how confident Jesus is, that he's the author. He's the author and perfecter. We don't even perfect it. It's by grace through faith that we get perfected. It's by grace, this grace. There's grace for you. Grace doesn't just mean mercy or something like that. It's a divine influence. There is a grace, a spirit of grace coming on this generation. It says in the last days, there will be shouts of grace unto it. Grace unto it. Grace unto it. And he will establish his house through grace, and it will be the resting place of his glory. Not because we deserve it, but because he deserves it. Because he deserves nations as his inheritance. He deserves you. He deserves a happy version of you. Oh. He wants you to feast on his creamy, buttery goodness. He wants to give you drink from the river of his pleasure. There's a generation coming on the earth that's going to understand the gospel. We're going to be a generation that's got a revelation that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. He is a new creation. Yeah. Yeah. We're not waiting for a new wineskin. There's already been a new wineskin cracked open 2,000 years ago that's flowing with milk and honey. God could have chosen anything as the symbol of his covenant, but he chose wine. He chose a drug. Let's be honest, it's a drug. We might put it in a nice bottle with a nice label, but it's a drug. An intoxicating, merry drug. And Jesus chose the symbol. And he said, this is my new covenant with you. It's not going to be loads of regulations and laws. It's going to be a cup. You want to engage with this new covenant? It's going to offend you because you're going to want to accomplish it. You're going to want to deserve it. You're going to want to be able to work at it. But I just want you to drink it. He prepares a table in the presence of our enemies. God's so confident. He lays out the table and brings out the melon and the soup. One thing I've learned about God is he likes wine. You know where it says he has taken me into his banqueting house in Song of Solomon? That means the house of wine. There's a wine house in heaven. Where's heaven now inside of you? Whoa, you deserve a season of being locked in the wine room. Whoa, I like the way Jesus does it. He opens the door and he shows you, and you kind of lean in, and then he pushes you and locks the door. And he says, you're not coming out until you've learned to drink. Yeah, this is why Paul and Silas could be worshiping in a jail. How were Paul and Silas worshiping in jail? This is a good point. This is a great point. How were Paul and Silas worshiping in a jail? Because something had happened to them. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Okay, point one. It's good news. I was out on the streets in Cardiff. We love blowing up the streets. We've seen hundreds saved on the streets. I've stood up in a food area with about this many people in a train station. And I said, can everybody be quiet, please? Can I have everyone's attention? I'm here for 5 minutes. It's your lucky day. If you need a healing in your body, the kingdom of heaven's at hand. And hands are going up. The police are coming over. And saying, they came up to me and I hear the Lord say, against this, there is no law. The police came up to me. They said, you can't do this. I said, I can. Against such things, there is no law. And they kind of looked confused, shook their heads and went, they were thinking of all the laws that they know. You're right, there's no law against this. There's no law against the joy of heaven. We've seen the joy break out in Starbucks. We once saw everyone get hit in Starbucks. Gold just started coming on young people. Some days I get the presence on me and I've walked out of the house and people have walked up to me and said, I want what you've got. And the presence has been there. I've walked into a bakery once and the presence of God hit the people behind the counter. I walked into a hotel once and the receptionist started weeping as the presence of God came on her. We've had people say, what is this? We had a gold dust outbreak on a rugby team on an aeroplane. It started when we told them that you could huff the Bible. What are you going to do with that theology? God wants to break our religious theology. Heaven's more fun than we realize. Martin Luther said the gospel is nothing less than laughter and joy. It says with joy we'll draw from the wells of salvation. When did you last draw from the well of salvation? Listen, true spiritual authority is this. It's the degree to that the Lord himself has become your greatest encourager. If you got that one point, it would transform the rest of your life. Because I get discouraged. I have to walk in a nation that doesn't understand me. I have to walk in isolation a lot of the time. A lot of my teachings have come from being in the kingdom realm of the Father, where I've been taught by the Lord. Because the gospel is that you'll need no man teach you. I will give you a heart of flesh, a Godward heart, and I will teach you. You'll all know the Lord. So David knew how to do this. David, it says, strengthened himself in the Lord. You know, people often complain when things go wrong. Oh, my pastor's done this. My pastor's done that. Auntie Floor hasn't come over for a while. So-and-so forgot my birthday. It doesn't matter. Get over it. It doesn't matter. You've got a river of life inside of you. You've got a kingdom realm. And what I do is I go into the secret place of the Lord and I strengthen myself in the Lord. And I engage with the fatness of his house, with the copious weight of his glory. And I present lament for his joy. And I trade in my brokenness for his wholeness. And I engage with him. Whoa. Yeah. And then it begins to open up. It begins to expand. And he begins to teach you his ways. I want to know the ways of God. Yay. Enoch understood what I'm telling you right now. Right back at the beginning, even though there was a flaming sword saying you can't come back into Eden, there was a cool, awesome guy called Enoch who's still alive today. What does that tell me? It tells me that death's optional. Whoa. Death is optional. Enoch, even before the gospel, had a revelation that God was good. That God is good. Whoa. Okay, I'll say it again. God is good. Wow. It says he sits in heaven and laughs. And Enoch's such a cool guy. Do you know Enoch is so involved in what's going on right now? Whoa. Okay. Let's put it like this. I saw Enoch yesterday in my hotel. If that helps. We got to realize how crazy it is what we're carrying. This is a threat to every system on the planet. Once the church gets the gospel, once we get out of this religious factory of doo-doo performance, you know, you go to conferences and they say, oh, you can't pray for anyone, you're not safe. And then we'll say, go into all the world, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, But don't do it in this room. Because when you walk through that door, you were completely unsafe. Out there, you're fine. Do whatever you want. Out there, go for gold. And we have created a system that disempowers people that God has made powerful. God trusts you. God's not afraid of your mistakes. He's taken out accidental damage on all of us. Whoa. It doesn't matter. There's great grace on this generation. We just don't realize how much He loves us. He doesn't want you to just know a verse. He wants you to experience the reality of it. I'll give you an example. In my city, we have pastor leaders meetings once a month. It's awful. Let's just get to the point. It's awful. I cry on my way there. It's that bad. It's no joke. One time I was driving there, I was going around the roundabout three times because I couldn't decide whether I was going. We get there, we don't hug each other. Leaders don't hug. I said to one of the senior leaders there, I said, how come we don't roll on the floor together? I think that would be some good team building. We shake hands. They always look nervous when I come. I think they're relieved when I'm not there. He always meets me at the door and kind of goes. One time we have coffee before, half an hour coffee. And I had an angel come in the middle of the room and give me prophetic words for people. And I'm there trying to have coffee. There's an angel behind you. Anyway, they do this really embarrassing thing at the end of the meeting. I can't stand it. It's the worst thing ever. They do this benediction where they say, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. But this is what's really bad about it, is that when we do it, we all have to look at each other. It's the worst thing ever. It is. This is not the gospel, by the way. I tell you what the gospel is. That verse, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship, the koinonia, the embracing, be with you all. And I tell you what, one night I was going to pray and my wife was out. I was looking after the kids. And you know how it is sometimes you put off praying? How many of anyone done that? No? No, this is just me? Yes? Yes, that's right. We're under grace. It's okay. Jesus did it for us. Yeah? It's a gift. And it came around and it was like 9 o'clock and I still hadn't prayed. So I stood up and I said, okay, God, I'm going to pray now. I didn't do that. That's just something that's just happening to me right now. Okay. Whoa. Right. Woo. And I stood up to pray and Jesus said to me, it's okay. It's okay. Do you know it's all okay? So I was praying and the Lord said, it's okay. He said, lie down. He makes you lie down. I felt I needed to be praying. God says, it's okay. God has figured out. He's got it figured out. You don't have to figure it out. We walk by faith, not by sight. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. You don't have to understand it. You just trust in the Lord with all your heart. So I lie down, and do you know what happened? This is awesome. For an hour and a half, I encountered that verse, may the grace of our Lord Jesus. And he washed me with grace. and the love, and I was baptized in love and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit for an hour and a half, all I could do was let tears run down my face as I experienced the grace and the love and the fellowship. Wow. See, some of you can feel that moving in. Whoa. Connect with your heart now. Connect with your heart now. Hey. Hey, that's it. Just open up. Open up. Open up. Open up. He's wide open. He is wide open. He's got what, arms wide open. Do you know Jesus skips? It says, here's my beloved skipping over the hills. Do you know Jesus? I'll tell you a good thing about skipping. You get there a lot faster. It's wonderful. I feel a skip coming on right now. I'm restraining it because I'm in New Zealand. Me don't skip. Okay, whoa, no, skipping's coming. Oh, it's a manifesting. No, New Zealand, rugby. No. Feel the skip. No, one leg doesn't want to do it. One leg skipping. Oh. Okay, we got through that. That was good. No. Skip. Oh, can you? Oh, see, it's just. Oh. Whoa. I love Susie Wills from Morningstar, and she was with us in Wales, and she said one time she was on the stage worshiping, and she was so enjoying dancing with Jesus. She skipped right through the air. She danced in the air. You know, the Bible says, make a joyful noise to the Lord. Whoa. That's good. Okay. Thank you, Jesus, for loving me. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, well, we're afraid of letting go. It's a fear issue. It is. We just don't trust him enough. You think you guys have got problems? God's been pulling me up recently, so we've had to have a little agreement that if I take off in a public place, my trousers won't fall down, because I had this worry. I've had this very legitimate worry when he started to rapture me that I'm going to go into an ecstasy, float off the ground, but my trousers won't make it somehow. It's completely irrational. This is the honest truth. Before I got up here this morning, I tightened my trousers just in case. Because I never know when it's going to strike. We ain't seen nothing yet. I'm going to end this with this. We are coming into days of wonders that no eye has seen, no ear has heard. There is a wildfire being released on the earth in these days. The gospel will not be contained by religion or systems of control, because it's the burning heart of the Father, and the Father's fire is going to burn through a generation, and it's going to sweep through governments. It's going to sweep through schools. It's going to sweep through the church. And he will not be contained anymore, because he loves the world. And he is not coming with a message of condemnation. He is coming with a message of joy. He is coming with a message of healing. He is coming with a message that I'm not afraid of your sin. For God so loved the world. God so loved the world. God so loved the world. And there is going to be a love invasion on this planet, the like of which is never seen. When sin increases, grace increases all the more. It says, arise and shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord rises upon you. Even though there's darkness and even gross darkness, the glory will be seen. The glory will be seen. It says, arise and shine. So we better learn to float and glow. I love you guys. Stand up. I'm just going to pray. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for loving me. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. Thank you, Lord. There's a party going on inside of me 24/7. If you open up my belly, there's the best dance music you've ever heard. Whoa. So, Father, I ask for a wildfire to sweep New Zealand. A wildfire. A wildfire of your presence. A wildfire of your love. Unexpected hijackings. Unexpected explosions of your presence. We say, Lord, we give you full permission to invade this nation from coast to coast. We won't tell you how to do it or where to do it. We say whatever you want to do is okay. We're not going to live under the weather anymore. We're going to live in the kingdom realm of the Father. Righteousness, peace, and joy. Righteousness, peace, and joy. There might be storms, but we will be in peace. We will be in righteousness. We will be in joy because we got a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Whoa. And right now we come into the finished works of what he has accomplished. We come into the rest of God. And I just release over you right now, it's okay. Turn to the person that, I know this is cheesy, we're just going to do a cheesy church thing for a second. Turn to the person next to you, right, turn and just say, it's all going to be okay. I release over you the okay anointing. It's all going to be okay. It's all going to be okay. It's all going to be okay. Every little thing is going to be all right. The story ends well. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Thank you, Father.